Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Arise course. If you're here this morning, enjoy this. Those of you who are listening at home, please enjoy this course. Many of you will be doing this over 7 weeks. There are seven sessions on the theme of Arising. And I want to introduce it this morning just by saying where it came from. Last year, at the early part of the year, God really spoke to me in a very unusual way. I was praying for some friends, and last year, 2008, was a difficult year for the church, a difficult year for many Christians. I don't know what it was like for you, don't know what it was like for those of you who are listening at home, but I know in talking to Christians all over the place, 2008 was a difficult year, a year to get through. And God, at the beginning of the year, was speaking to me. I was praying for some friends and praying along this sort of way. Lord, would you, my friends were ill. God, would you please restore to them all that they've lost? Bring back the health that they need. And I felt God challenge me that I needed to pray a stronger prayer than that, that they needed to not only just get back what they'd lost, but they needed to rise up beyond where they were, so that not only would they then be healed, but they'd be able to bring healing to others who were going through the same sort of circumstances. And I felt the word that God shared with me just dropped into my heart, and it was in January 2008, was the word arise, that it's time for the church to arise. And I looked in the scriptures, and there are many verses in the scripture that tells us to arise. I'm using particularly the New King James Version of the Bible, and on many occasions it says arise. And I discovered something, that every time the Bible says to arise, that it's because something amazing is about to happen. I believe that Christians are called to arise and be who God has called them to be in this day, that we need to be the children of God. We're being attacked at every level, and if all we try and do is to keep where we are, then it's a very difficult existence as a Christian. The Bible says that all things are possible, but it gives a condition. All things are possible to them that believe. In other words, if we're willing to believe, all things are possible. And so this whole course is based around this idea of arising, of stepping up to the mark and being those whom God has called us to be. There are notes available for this, and you'll get them on the website at www.thejoshuaproject.co.uk. Turn with me, would you please, to the scriptures. And the first place where it mentions the word arise that I want to look at this morning is in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 2. And it's a guy called Jacob. God told him to arise on two occasions. And on both occasions, the ramifications of him not arising were great. And the first one we have is in Genesis chapter 28 and in verse 2. And what has happened before this is Jacob and his brother Esau are having a few problems. Jacob has stolen his brother's birthright, and Esau is determined to kill him. I'm going to kill you. And his mother Rebekah is very concerned because Jacob was her favorite son. And so she came along to Isaac, her husband, and under the excuse said, listen, I don't want him to marry a local girl. I want him to go back to my family, marry one from my family, not one of these local people. Please advise him to go. So in Genesis 28 and verse 2, Isaac calls Jacob and says this to him, arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And may God Almighty bless you. So Jacob arises out from the ordinary and goes and does what God tells him to do. Now, the reason for me preaching along this sort of course is that as Christians today, sometimes we assume that things will always be the way we are. If we're sick, we think we'll always be sick. If we're in poor, we think we'll always be poor. If things are bad, we think they'll always be bad, especially on a dark, dismal winter day. And I want us to lift our eyes and realize that God is who he says he is. And he broke in here to Jacob's life, and his father said to him, arise and go. And you know the story. He goes off. He goes to his mother's home family, and he marries two women. He marries Leah and Rachel. And from those two come the 12 tribes of Israel. So, and of course, his name is later changed to Israel. So when we look back in the history of the Jewish people, back to Israel, all of it comes back to a young man called Jacob who was willing to arise when God told him to arise. Now, the question then comes, what would have happened had he not arisen? Destiny was in his hands. And so for those of you listening today, as we go through these seven sessions, I want to imply this, and I believe it's a truth, is that God is waiting for some of us to arise and do something that we've never done before. Because if we stay where we are doing the same things that we've always done, then nothing will ever change. Isn't that right? So we need to be people who will listen to God when he says arise, to arise. Turn on with me to Genesis. It's still in the first part here, but Genesis 31 and verse 13. It's still under Jacob. Because he goes, he marries these two women, he has all these children. And then in Genesis 31 and verse 13, God speaks to him again and says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise. Arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Go back to the land of Canaan. Go back to the promised land. Go back to where I want to do something amazing with you. So God speaks in again and does something new and changes the direction of his child. Now this should be easier to do in this day. Because when I was growing up as a young person, it was very difficult for people to make decisions that would bring change into their lives. My father, he was in the same job when I was a young guy as the job that he retired from. His whole life was in the one place. And many of you will remember your parents. They will have worked in the same factory, the same job when they started as when they finished. It's different today. In Britain, it's different today. In other nations, it's different today. People are made redundant today, particularly in our economic climate at the moment. People lose their jobs. People retrain for other jobs. And so it's easier to arise than it used to be. It used to be, and statistics would have told us, that most people become Christians in their youth or in their teenage years because they're used to change. Once a young person gets into their 20s, it was always harder to win them for the Lord because it's more difficult for them to make change. Different today. People can arise. And what happened was he moved back to the place where God has called his family to be, Jacob. What would have happened had he not done that? He wouldn't have met God at Peniel, where God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, he who struggles with God. Lots of things would not have happened. That's Jacob. Turn on with me to number two, to Abraham. In fact, turn back to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 17. Arise. This is the second one. It's God's talking to a man called Abraham who has already arisen. He's already left his homeland. And he's got here towards the land of Canaan. God brought him there with Lot, his nephew. And so the two of them are there together. They've increased so much in numbers that they come together in Genesis chapter 13 and decide not to argue and separate. In verse 14 it says, Genesis 13, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, north, south, east and west. And ask him a question, what can you see? What can you see when you look north, south, east, and west? And then in verse 17, he says, arise, because I'm going to give you what you can see. Now, the question comes to us, therefore, is what can we see? What do we see for our lives when we lift up our eyes and look at who we are? Look at our family, as an individual, who I am. What do we see that God has written over our lives? Are we living our dream, in other words? Are we in the place that we believed God wanted us to be? Or have we settled for something thinking this is the way it will always be? It can never be any different because of my circumstances, because of my training, because of my background, because of the restrictions that come on my life from finance, family, or whatever it is. Sometimes we settle. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that you or I are in the wrong place. This is not to unsettle people. What I'm saying is that in the scripture, I've discovered something. because of the plan of God, which is to reach the world, to save the world, is that he breaks into the lives of people and he confronts them with this word, arise. And so for Abram here, as his name was, God showed him. He lifted up his eyes and he looked north and south and east and west. Didn't tell him any more than that. He didn't say, can you see that castle away on the hill? Or he didn't say to him, do you see that ministry I have for you over there? He just said, lift up your eyes and look. What can you see? And then he said, I want you to arise from where you are, and I want you to go where your eyes have seen. Arise. And God gave him the whole land of Canaan. And all of what we enjoy as Christians, because we are descendants of Abraham, the Bible says, according to Galatians, looks back to this. He says, what can you see? It's time to arise. Had he not arisen, what would have happened? The third one's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, my favorite book in the Bible, Joshua chapter 1. It says, very simply, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people. Arise. Time to arise. You and all this people. And I find that so challenging. Because when God spoke to Joshua, what he was implying to him was this. You and all these people. You're the main guy, but actually, I'm bringing all these people into the land that I've already promised to them. But you're the leader. And so I'm asking you to arise. And because you arise, a whole nation will arise. Isn't it amazing? We sometimes pray that God will bring revival to our land. I'm sure those of you watching will have prayed. Whatever nation you're in, you will pray, God, bring revival to my nation. We pray for it here in the UK. God, bring revival to this nation. God, would you send people into government? Would you raise up a Christian prime minister? Would you save the royal family? How many of you have prayed that way? Probably many, many times. But the fact of the matter is, when we look through Scripture, it nearly always seems to be the case that when God brings revival, you know, it says God's, one of the prayers in the Bible says, Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down. You know that? Rend the heavens and come, as if God is somehow going to come physically himself. But when we look through the Scripture, and when you study just about every revival that there's been in history, God chose a man or God chose a woman. I'm not saying God has to do it that way in the future, but it seems to be learning from Scripture, learning from history, is that God always chooses an individual. Usually there's a group of women praying somewhere, or God raises up a man, a preacher, or whatever it would happen to be in this modern age that we live in, but God uses people. And God spoke to Joshua and said, now then, Joshua, arise, you and all these people. I wonder today how many people are watching you and are watching me just to see what we'll do. Just to see if we will rise up by faith and be the person God has called us to be. I wonder. We'll never know the answer to that, because the only way we'll know is when we actually do arise and do what God has called us to do. Number four is in Judges chapter 5, verse 12. And when I started to study this, I just looked up the word arise in a concordance, and I was amazed at the amount of times that this word comes through the Scripture. And the thing that also surprised me was the effect of the word arise. It seemed to be every time God used it, or somebody used it under God, some person spoke the word, there was always destiny about to happen. You and I can dictate destiny. Sometimes we think it's God does everything, but in the wisdom and in the economy of God, it seems that he chooses to work with you and with me. That seems to be the way he does it. Here in Judges chapter 5, this is one of those strange passages in the Bible. In Judges chapter 4, we have the story of Deborah and Barak. and how they win this tremendous victory. But in chapter 5, it's like it tells you everything that went on in chapter 4. Judges chapter 5 and verse 12. Here's what Deborah sings in her song. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. Arise. And when you read through the rest of the chapter, it's horrific for this reason. When you read through the next few verses, you'll find that there are some of them who really do an amazing job. It says of Issachar in verse 15, he was with Barak into the valley. He went into the valley under Barak's command. But then it says among the divisions of Reuben, there was great searching of heart. Searching of heart. He didn't arise. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds? Reuben, search in your heart, verse 16. Gilead stayed there. Dan, he stayed there. But then it says in verse 18, Zebulun risked his very lives. How come you can be in a meeting such as this morning, or any meeting that you're in, how come you can sit in the same meeting, go out having sung the same songs, having listened to the same paraphernalia that goes on from the front, listen to the same sermon? One person could go out and say, I felt nothing. Another person could go out and say, God spoke to me this morning. How can that be? Is it somehow that just God in each meeting we're in chooses just individuals to speak to? Or is it that there are something in our heart that actually responds to the word of God? The Bible says that deep calls to deep at the sound of his waterfall. You know that verse? Deep calls it. There is something when we are receptive to God that draws us to him. You found that when you became a Christian. You don't know why you became a Christian, first of all, possibly. Just something in you was drawn to God. And in this passage here, Deborah says, arise, Barak. Why? Because if you don't arise, there will be some that will sit and they will just watch you and let you go off to battle, but will have regret in their hearts. I resolve before the Lord, I will not live with regrets. I don't believe in regrets. Regrets are a waste of time. I don't believe in guilt. Guilt is a waste of time. Just don't do the wrong thing in the first place. What's the point in feeling guilty? Get it sorted out. Say, God, I'm sorry, and just get on with it. Guilt doesn't actually benefit us in any way unless we come back to God. Regrets are of no benefit. We need to take risks and go for God. Do you agree with me? Those of you listening at home, I hope you agree with that. I've met a lot of people, older people, who have come to me and regretted. I've met several people who felt God called them to the mission field as young people, never went, and have lived their whole lives with regrets. That's sad. Now, God can forgive us for all of that and restore and start again. He restores the years the locusts have eaten. But here, Deborah says, arise. Shake yourself out of our apathy. Arise and wake up. Turn on to the next one, Judges chapter 7, and in verse 9. This is our fifth one. A guy called Gideon. Now, Gideon, I love this guy. He's in a wine press. God speaks to him, says, "Ho, you mighty man of valor." The angel comes and talks to him, and Gideon has this big debate with God while he's in the wine press about who am I? I'm the youngest, the least in my clan. I can't do this, I can't do that. And God says, "I will be with you. Go. You're a mighty man of valor." And eventually he does go. He's been taught by God. And it's a wonderful thing to be taught by the Lord. Those of you here today in this service, you've been taught here week after week after week. Those of you listening at home, you've been taught in your church. If you're a member of a church somewhere, you've been taught week after week after week. You've done course after course after course, read book after book after book, hopefully, done those sort of things. And that's what's happened to Gideon. Gideon has learned directly from the Lord who he is. He's put out a fleece before God, has this wonderful story, and it leads up to the middle of the night in Judges chapter 7 and in verse 9. And I love this because even with all that Gideon has, still at nighttime. Look in verse 9 of Judges 7. It says, it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down to the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. Could God not have waited till the next morning? I mean, is God so unsociable that he had to call a guy in the middle of the night? Now, what happens after that is God brings him down to the camp, and he overhears a dream that one of the enemy, the Midianites, are having, and God encourages him, and then he attacks them and wins the battle with the 300. But my point is this. It's possible to be in church, to listen to all the best sermons, to sing the most anointed songs, to have every course we could ever think of, to be filled up to here with a good knowledge of the Lord and of his ways, and still to be ineffective in the kingdom. What's happened here is God came to Gideon and said, with all his knowledge and what he said to him up to this moment in time, in the middle of the night, he says, right, it's all been leading to this point in time. Now, I want you to arise, and I want you to go, and I want you to go down to the enemy's camp. That was a bit inconvenient, wasn't it? But God said, arise, and we need to be the people who will arise this morning, take the enemy's camp. Turn on to the next one, Nehemiah chapter 2. God spoke to Nehemiah. This is number 6. God spoke to Nehemiah, and he heard about the condition of Jerusalem, and he was deeply upset, deeply moved by that, by the condition of the homeland, what Jerusalem was like. He sat down and he wept and he wept and he wept. He made inquiries to find out what it was like, and it upset him what he heard. And so he made up his mind that he was going to go back and restore the walls of Jerusalem, and he does that. Even with all the criticism and the opposition that comes his way. And the verse I want to bring you to is in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. Well, now 18 to 20. It says, and I told them of the hand of my God. This is Nehemiah speaking to his leaders. I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good unto me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Even with the opposition. Have you ever had opposition for being a Christian? Have you ever been criticized? Has anybody ever tried to make fun of you because you're a Christian? It will happen. It happens right most of your life in your workplace. There will be some who will admire you, but there will be others who will publicly make fun of you because of your stand for Christ. And that's happening to Nehemiah. But he got his people together. He says, no, God has given me a vision. God has told me what we must do. We will arise and build. And of course, destiny was in hand here, because he's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The temple then would be rebuilt. Lots of things would be restored. But he had to rebuild the walls. But he had to rise up and make it happen. God said to me last year, it's time for the church to arise. With all the criticism that's come against the church, here we are, 2009, when we're sharing this morning. This is heading towards this. It's the 100th year of Darwin. And a lot of the accusations that came against the church between science and between the claims of the Bible, a lot of criticism has come and still comes today, that to believe in the Bible account of creation, you must be stupid. Have you ever come across that? It'll come more and more as we approach throughout this year. There is this sense that to be a scientist and a Christian, you have to put away the Bible. Not true. Science, I believe, does back up the Bible. But there is this numbing down that comes, and these accusations comes against Christians all the time. Who do you think you are? Don't you realize what reality is? And that came against Nehemiah. by these different people saying, hey, you're a real thicko, you are. But Nehemiah says, no, we will rise up and we will rebuild these walls. And God is building his church today. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Turn on with me to Esther chapter 4, because in Esther 4 we have a real challenge here in this. In all of these situations where God says to arise, there comes a challenge. But in this one, more than in any other, we see the reality if the person does not arise. When God brings us to a place where he challenges us, if we say yes, then the challenge, once the challenge and the surrender has happened, then whatever happens after that, God will bring us through to a place of fruitfulness where he will do amazing things in our lives. But when God brings us to that place of challenge and we resist the challenge, then our heart starts to become hardened. And God then finds it more difficult to get through to us the next time. And here with Esther, you know the story of Esther. The most famous verse is Esther 4, verse 14. Mordecai comes to her, and the wicked Haman wants to destroy the Jews and has set up some gallows and all this sort of stuff and wants to destroy them. Here for Mordecai and the others. Here in verse 14, this is Mordecai's words to Esther. He says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise. Here's the word. It will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now that's the famous bit of it. You've probably heard hundreds of sermons on that phrase, for such a time as this. But it's the beginning of the verse that to me is the challenge. God's really saying, listen, if you don't arise, I will cause somebody else to arise. That means I am expendable. Yet I think in my arrogance that God needs me. I somehow think that God cannot do without me, and that is not true. God, if I say no, God will raise up somebody else. He'll do a bypass around me and will choose somebody. Isn't that a challenge? Those of you listening at home, isn't that a challenge to you as a Christian today? That if you choose not to arise, God isn't going to sit in heaven and say, oh my goodness, now I'm sniggered. Kingsley said, no, crumbs, we're going to have to change our whole plans. It's messed the whole thing up. Anybody got any ideas what we can do? Listen, I think God would be upset. And I think God will be disappointed, but I can guarantee you one thing, the plan of God will continue. The plan of God will never be thwarted. If I say no, there are many people God will choose in my place. But the thing is this, I don't want God to have to use them. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is when the children of Israel wandered through the desert, and there's a verse there in Exodus, I think it says, where God raised up sons in their place. Tells us there, beginning of the Bible and in the book of Joshua as well. God chose he rose up their sons who took their place. Now, when I read that, it means that actually the original plan of God was that those ancestors would have done the thing God had called them to do. But because of their stubbornness and their refusal to obey, God raised up their sons in their place. And I find that a frightening verse. There's one other that I want you to look at. It's not in your notes, but I want you just to look at this. It's in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And because I've just come back from Ethiopia, it's just a little one to add in here that I find amazing, because it's the first time an Ethiopian comes to Christ. What happens is this Ethiopian eunuch is on his way to Jerusalem, coming back home again then, went to Jerusalem to find God, goes back home, perhaps disappointed. And God chooses a man called Philip, who was one of the deacons, and chooses Philip and says, I want you to go. In verse 26 of Acts 8, he said, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Arise. And when he arose and went to that place, he met up with this Ethiopian eunuch, story goes on. He leads him to the Lord. The man's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Philip tells him it's talking all about Jesus, how Jesus died for him. Before they've finished their day's talking, he's baptized him in a pool. And then that man goes to Ethiopia, brings the gospel to Ethiopia. Can you imagine if Philip had not arisen? Maybe God would have used somebody else. But if the incident had not happened, then the gospel would not have been brought to Ethiopia at that time. The continent of Africa was opened up through this incident in Acts chapter 8. Those of you from Africa this morning should be saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or hallelujah, that'll do even better. But it's true. It is true. We have to arise. It's important that we do that. Every time we read the word arise in the scriptures, destiny is in store. And this morning or this evening, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this, as we go through this course, when God speaks into our lives, and I know God will do this, when God speaks into your life and tells you to arise, change will come into your life. Since I started preaching this, our ministry is changing. Kathy and I, we're moving house in a few weeks' time. I'll tell you about that in another stage. God has brought some change into our own lives from I've started to do this. Change will come. How long has it been since change has come into our lives? How long has it been? See, we settle. We try to get to the place where we think, right, that's it. I've moved house for the last time, thank God. I've changed this for the last time, thank goodness. Everything is now, I can lie back and allow my life to just go. How many of you have said that? How many of you who are older have said that? Oh, we must encourage the young people. It's their turn now. Now I'm retired. Listen, don't say that to God. He's likely to take you home. So just make sure your insurance policy is up to date. Your will is written if you start speaking that way. Because God has still got some arising to do for all of us. It's not a young thing. I'm amazed traveling around Britain today how possessed we are with being young. Do you know if you get over the age of 30, you're pensioned off? Do you know that? I'm amazed. Don't become old before your time. If Moses was 80-something climbing mountains, then you need to take a trip to Ben Nevis pretty soon, some of you. Is that right? Psalm 139 verse 2 says, he knows our sitting down, he knows our rising up. And one last verse I want to bring you, well, two last verses, sorry. Luke chapter 2, I find this very challenging. Luke chapter 2 and verse 34, just turn with me please to it. If you're following this at home, turn to it in your Bible. And at any stage with this DVD, pause it and discuss some of these things. But here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 34, there's a man called Simeon. He's in the temple. And he's been in the temple for a long time because God spoke to him and said, listen, you will not die until you see the Christ. Until you see the promised one coming, I'm not going to take you home. So Simeon goes into the temple every day and he sits there every day, day after day after day, waiting, waiting, waiting for the promised one to come. He doesn't know what will happen. Will there be a stamp on his forehead? At least he knows it'll not be 666. But does he know what will happen when this young baby comes into the temple? What's going to happen? Will it light up? What will happen? On this occasion in Luke chapter 2, we don't know what the announcement was. But something happened when Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus, this little boy, into the temple. Something happened. He knew this was the one. Maybe there was a quickening in his heart, but he knew this is the one. And so we have in Luke chapter 2 and verse 28, he took him up, this Jesus, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, I believe what's happening here, he's handing the baby back, just like a minister dedicates a baby, hands him back to the mother, just after he has dedicated the child. But I believe he pauses here. He just handed them back. Simeon blessed them. And then he said to Mary, his mother, I believe he's prophesying here, behold, this is verse 34, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. What was he saying there? I believe what he was saying was this. This child, who won't always remain a child, will cause some to fall, and he will cause some to rise up. He'll cause some to fall away. And it's true, isn't it? You'll find this in your workplace, wherever you go. When you talk about Jesus to some people just do not want to know. You can't get anywhere. You may as well just stop it because you're just digging a bigger hole for them. Because they've told you in no uncertain terms, they do not want to know. But there are other people. When you talk to them, you can see it in their eyes. I see it as I'm preaching often. I see with some people, faith rising, you can see it in their eyes. I see with other people that I'm boring them stupid sometimes. And I know just to ignore it. Because that's the way it is. But for some, God will cause them to rise up. God will cause some to rise up. And as we go through this course on Arise, some of you watching this, God will cause you to rise up. Maybe you'll move house. Maybe you'll change job. Maybe you'll go and live in another country. Maybe you'll feel the call to go to Nigeria. I know many of you are from Nigeria this morning. Maybe you'll feel the call to go back there. Maybe you'll feel the call to go to the greatest nation on earth, Ireland. Maybe you'll feel the call to go and start a new ministry. Maybe you've been on the edge of wondering, how does God... See, this is the strange thing. There is a signs in Scripture when God speaks to us out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. But let's be honest, some Christians want so much confirmation. If God himself came down or came through YouTube, they still wouldn't believe him. If God were to walk in front of you and say, hi, I am God, this is what I want you to do. Are you listening? We'd still think it was a dream. People said to me recently, how do you know that God's calling you to go places? The answer is, I don't. I'm going to Pakistan soon. Someone said to me recently, how do you know? Well, you know God's called you to Pakistan. My answer was, do I? I believe it's right. But I might be wrong. But I've understood something about the way God calls people. Is that he only calls you so far, and then he says, right, now I want you to do something. He's given you a mind. He's given you emotions. He's given you a will. He's given you something whereby you can make up your mind and decide. Sometimes the church kills that. Sometimes we have a nation full of the greatest thickos you've ever met in your life. When really God wants to bring out that part of us that says, hey, God, you and me, we can do something together. But it's going to take me to arise to do that. It will not happen for me. Plane tickets do not come through my door without me booking them. Did you know that? I have never had a plane ticket through my door. I used to hear stories about men walking and going to the airport and a ticket being there. That's fine. We live in the modern age. It's very difficult to do today with checks and all the rest. Let me tell you, it would be a total miracle if you were to go to an airport or you go to America and they let you in just because you say God let you. If that's your ministry, away you go and fly there, that's fine. But listen, for me, I've discovered I have to book tickets before I go. And those have to be paid for. So I need to know at least it's a good idea. But I've discovered something. When God causes us to arise and challenges us to arise in whatever that is, then we've got to do that. Let me give you one more verse. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. This is the most familiar verse that talks about arising in the Bible. And we'll come to a conclusion of this first section after this. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Look at this bit. I love this bit. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. See, that's what God promises. He promises that you will have an impact. Wherever you go, God promises you will have an impact. But there's a condition, as there is with anything in the Scripture and the promises of God, there is a condition. And the condition is this, arise and shine. If we would do that bit, if we would arise and do what God is telling us to do, then God promises that the glory of the Lord will rise upon us. I believe we live in the most exciting days that there have ever been. It's getting darker. Did you know that? The world is getting darker. But because it's getting darker, wow, you're getting brighter. Because it's getting darker, the glory of the Lord shining from you is getting brighter. And it's coming in our nation to the stage where people are going to want to know, where is God? You say God's alive, show him to me. Because people need the Lord wherever we go. And I pray that for you today, and as you're listening at home or going through this in your home, wherever it happens to be, a church or wherever, I pray that God will cause something to spark off inside of you, that I would be like a catalyst that would just ignite something, and that would explode inside you, whereby change, you can make some changes in your life. Because I can promise you, if you will arise and do the thing God is impressing on you to do, there's no telling what results can come from that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your love and for your grace in our lives. And thank you, Lord, that when you spoke in Scripture and caused people to arise, when they arose, destiny was changed. Lord, teach us today, wherever we are listening or going through this course, teach us today that we have authority with you and over the enemy. Teach us today that when we hear your challenge to arise, that somehow when we respond, all of heaven backs it up. And so, Lord, I pray for each person who's listening to my voice today. Cause each one to hear the voice of God and cause us to say yes. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm going to arise. I'm going to make changes. I'm going to do whatever it is necessary so that the plan of God can be effective in my life and in the lives of others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.